Blue and white means, at its simplest, cobalt pigment applied to white clay. Over the course of a millennium, blue and white porcelain has become one of the most recognized types of ceramic production worldwide. The exhibition New Blue and White, currently on display at the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston, explores the ways in which contemporary makers working in ceramics as well as other media, ranging from fiber to furniture to glass, have explored this rich body of material culture. This project involves the Farron Gallery and their artists, 9 of 37, and evolved from the pursuit of porcelain and covet programs that were run out of the Farron Gallery the last two summers in the Berkshires. New Blue and White will show from July through July 14th, and Leslie Farron of the Farron Gallery in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, joins us now to tell us more. Leslie, thank you very much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So it is... I just want to give people some geography here before we get started, because there's a big reach here. So we have what you do in Pittsfield, you working in Pittsfield at the Farron Gallery.
Correct.
And then there's the exhibit that is happening at the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston, right?
Correct.
And then there is also some shows that are taking place at Harvard.
Harvard and in Concord also.
In Concord. So how did this become so wide-ranging?
Well, the Northeast Corridor can always be wide-ranging because it's really relatively close proximity. So once this very charismatic topic was raised by the museum, there was a swell of interest from, history to contemporary within the region.
So do you respond to that officially, or do you just sort of go off on your own and say, okay, this is what we're going to do because that exhibit is taking place? Or do you let them know what you're up to?
Well, partly this came from the fact that one of the first pieces purchased for the exhibition was purchased from our gallery, a piece by Chris Antiman, the collector. And that was over 2 years ago. So we knew right from the beginning of the concept for the show that it was taking place. And so little by little, both my interest and Emily Zilber, the curator, were very overlapped. And then there's a gallery in Concord, Mass., the Lacoste Gallery. She also shared that interest. And Harvard, of course, with their historic collection of European porcelain. So between the scholars, the curators, and the dealers, we were able to sort of put together a group of artists that are producing work, exhibiting work, talking about it, doing workshops around it.
I touched on this in the introduction, but there has long been this history of blue and white. So bring us through that history a little bit of why it's so significant and how ultimately it became new blue and white, in the sense of it is being readdressed, if you will.
Well, I think it's an amazing history that what you take is the porcelain produced in Asia and then it's exported to the Western cultures. And little by little, if you sort of follow the money back and forth between Asia and Europe, everybody was trying to please one another. And the imagery that's in the classic blue willow pattern,
right,
appears to be Asian, but it was sourced in Western Europe and produced in Asia to appease the market. So it became this language that went back and forth. And
because in
history,
many quarters, I've heard it referred to as very British,
right?
And yet very French.
Well,
and yes,
and then going back to
Asia and China, and
yeah. You can find it produced all over in all different formats.
Yeah.
So then the contemporary artist uses that as a symbol, either as a language for interpretation. They'll change the bridge to a contemporary bridge, or the birds become metaphoric, or the story itself becomes...
Well, the birds are always metaphoric, aren't they? Aren't the birds always metaphoric?
Yep, you can just about put a bird on anything and get a metaphor out of it.
Well, doesn't it get down to, and I apologize for asking a question that's probably impossible to answer, which I try not to do as an interviewer, but let me give it a shot, in the sense of... What is it about? It all gets down to it's pretty, right? I mean, the reason that there's a market for it, there's a reason that it explodes, is because it appeals to us. And do we know what it is about this color combination of blue and white that we find striking?
Well, we probably should have gotten MIT involved to answer that particular question.
Well, as I said, I know it's a difficult one, but just roughly.
I think if you just sort of think about it in terms of the blue and white is an appealing color combination, and you're right. It's about beauty, and it's about the still life, and it's about home and domesticity. So you'll see that in the show that Emily touches on all of those aspects of it. So you'll be able to look at artists who focused on the color or focused on the symbolism or, you know, and then throughout the installation, the way they put together the blue on the walls with the white in the works, it becomes a very strong exhibition concept. And I think it just appeals to the same way that it's been collected. But you'd have to ask MIT, is there some genetic DNA?
We'll get them on later. It was just something that struck me because it does seem to be one of those patterns because we're going back.
I think it's always
years,
sold
yeah.
well. Yeah. So, you know, that must mean that
it's an old standby.
We always said put a blue glaze on it and then a bird and you're in good shape there.
Stir, mix, and enjoy. The project involves, as I mentioned, Farron Gallery and their artists, 9 of 37, and evolved from the Pursuit of Porcelain and Covet programs that were run out of the Farron Gallery. Did you have any idea at that point that this is where the stuff was headed?
It kind of took me by surprise and storm, but I kind of rolled with it because as the interest came from the curators and it met up with the artists at the table and the collectors and the writers, it just seemed like a very strong concept. So Pursuit of Porcelain moved to Covet because the artists were coveting the artworks in the museum and vice versa. And now, you know, with it coming to fruition with 9 artists on the walls of the museum, it makes more sense in retrospect than it did at the time.
Forgive my naivete on this particular subject, but it would seem to me, from what you are telling us, that this is the dream collaboration. This is the dream rollout of something, in the sense of you work with artists, they put their work in your gallery, it raises interest in a larger museum who then purchases that work, which then allows you to do more work and bring more artists in. It seems like it's just a win-win-win all the way around.
You're right. And I do feel like, you know, this is a dream come true, not only for the artists, but for me. And with one piece purchased and 8 others on view, we have a great deal of hope that the museum will be able to raise funds to purchase some of the works. And if not them, then it gives us a great opportunity to bring our collectors to the museum and either to have them become part of purchasing a work in behalf of the museum or being a team that puts funds together for new acquisitions. But it really is a win-win.
When you give them to them, they're basically on loan from the artist or from the gallery at that point?
It's a combination. Yeah. And some of it's from collectors who have purchased the works in the process of being presented to the museum for this exhibition.
And how much are the museums, I mean, obviously MFA is a huge example, but how much are they into new acquisitions, or does this work for them, the arrangement of borrowing?
Well, I think this particular generation of makers and contemporary artists are just starting to see their works acquired either in the fine art department or the contemporary decorative arts department. So a place like the Clark is probably not going to acquire contemporary right. at this stage in the game, whereas the MFA has a contemporary decorative arts curator that's a funded curator with funds to produce this exhibition. So depending on which institution it is, it's going to be handled differently. But a lot of our collectors are also getting to the age where they're making gifts. So that's a very interesting change in our role of distributing artwork and working directly with the museums with, you know, their wish lists.
Because you are located where you're located, does most of the art come from the region, or does it come from all over? Does it have a larger geographic reach than just this region?
Well, I think the artists tend to be kind of migratory in the first place, going from one residency to another. So we've had several come through our project art space in Cummington. And some of them come and stay and work. Some of them just stop here and enjoy the cultural benefits of their wonderful region. So You know, in terms of actually identifying themselves as Berkshire artists, no. But the exchange of information between artists who live here and visit here and go to Australia and then come here is pretty amazing. And a lot of work is now being done in Jingdezhen, China. So there's a big program next week at the Met on Sunday that's going to have some of the same artists talking about their work in China, and interacting with the Metropolitan in New York.
You spoke a moment ago about evolution and the evolution from your pursuit of porcelain to Covet exhibits at the gallery. So what impact does that have on what you are working on now and for the future? Or are you thinking, okay, we've tapped that tree, let's move on?
Well, history interfacing with contemporary, I think it's just such a strong trend. I don't think we'll ever lose that tap in the tree.
Yeah.
But we did, we were really intrigued by the power of viral information getting out there to artists and how international all of a sudden the world is. So we have a call for entries. And we're picking 20 artists who are under 40 and 20 who are over 40. And over 350 submissions have come in. So instead of the list coming out on March 1st as expected, it'll probably be more like April.
But, give yourself some time to go through it all.
I mean, we're just processing it right now with all these other activities. I haven't even really looked at what's come in. But we have submissions from India, Korea, China, a ton from the U.S., obviously. But it'll be interesting this summer to present that work both locally and online, because many of the artists have never seen the gallery. Many of the collectors have never seen the gallery. So we sort of have a double identity, the one that the world knows and then the one that the Berkshires knows.
What is it about? Do you know it when you see it, or is it a more I would assume a much more involved process where you're looking at the artist, you're looking at their past work? It isn't based solely on that one piece that they're sending in for submission, correct?
Well, it had certain criteria. I wanted the artist to be either presenting their work in an innovative manner, pursuing new technologies, new concepts, new contexts, and so the over 40 I think will be more challenged to, you know, sort of reintroduce themselves. The younger ones, it'll be more about the quality of the work that they're able to, sometimes concepts are better than the actual material. So I may or may not even be able to see that, from an image.
What is it about 40? Why is that a cutoff?
Well, this was a kind of tongue-in-cheek reference to an exhibition that's taking place, just closed, at the Renwick Gallery of the Smithsonian. And they did, 40 under 40.
Right.
And out of that show, there was only, a less than handful of works that were produced in ceramics. So I thought I should really dig in there and figure out what is the under 40 in ceramics. And then I didn't want to really be
exclusionary,
age discriminatory.
Yeah.
And I think some of the best work is being done by over 40. So it was really, to me, more about quality. But it did reference this other exhibition.
Yeah, well, that's interesting, though, that to then kind of ferret out, say, okay, what is the work that's being done by that group? That's
interesting. And then our specialty is ceramics, so it made sense.
Indeed. New Blue and White is on display at the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston through July 14th, and you can find out more by going to mfa.org or also by going to farrengallery.com. And then there's an event happening Thursday, right?
There are two events taking place in Boston this week, a lecture at Harvard Art Museum on Wednesday by Michelle Erickson, a workshop the next day at the Office of Ceramic Arts at Harvard, and then a reception for the editor of Ceramics in America, and that would be at the Lacoste Gallery. And those are all Wednesday and Thursday.
And you can find out more information by going to your website, right?
Correct.
FerrinGallery.com is the website, FerrinGallery.com. Leslie Ferrin, thank you very much for being here. It's always a delight to have
Joe.
You with us.
You like coming out this way.
Always a pleasure. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.